The following is an audio recording of the Gospel and Sermon for the 25th Sunday after Pentecost for St. Thomas Lutheran Church in Chapin, South Carolina. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus noticed her, not because the poor widow had tossed in a big bag of gold coins while making a big loud offering to the temple coffers. No. All she put in were two small copper coins. Together they were worth a penny. And yet Jesus knew it was all she had to live on. Jesus noticed her. He also noticed rich people putting in large sums. This was a great teaching moment for his disciples. Their focus was turned to the poor widow, someone they might not have even noticed had their Lord not pointed her out to them. Despite her poverty, she has made an amazing act of faith, casting her future upon the arms of God. This happens to be a famous gospel story from the 12th chapter of Mark, sometimes called the widow's mite, and that is mite, M-I-T-E. We hear it once every 3 years on the second Sunday in November. Given the time of year, 1 week before approving an annual church budget, it's very tempting for we preachers to give a stewardship sermon on this text with a "go and do likewise" message. You know, hey, if this poor widow can do it, you can too. So how about emptying your wallets and your purses in the offering plate today? And then the church will have all the money it needs. Well, I don't think you want to hear that. Truth be told, I really can't simplify it like that and still be faithful to the gospel text itself. For one thing, when Jesus praises this widow for her gift to the temple, he had just finished condemning the temple as a corrupt institution. In the prior chapter, Jesus even calls the temple a den of robbers, and specifically faults the scribes and the temple leaders for financing their own extravagances with money they skimmed off the estates of widows. So why does Jesus praise this widow for giving all the money she has to a cause he feels is not worthy of her support? Well, I'll come back to that question. During the years I've been with you at St. Thomas, some of you may know that I served for 10 years on the South Carolina Synod Candidacy Committee. Our congregation's commitment of my time was part of our St. Thomas outreach to the larger church to help in the formation of new pastors and deacons. One of our committee's jobs is to walk beside candidates who feel called to be pastors over a four-year process. During that time, there are several stages to the formation of a pastor's identity. The very first leaders of Christ's church in the first century were fortunate enough to walk beside Jesus himself and enjoy teaching moments like we had today in the temple courtyard in our gospel reading. Nowadays, our candidacy committee still relies on God through the Holy Spirit to guide them in following Jesus and walking beside the pastoral candidates. One of the later stages in the process is a 12-month internship where a seminarian is supervised as they do ministry within a congregation. For example, our own Zach Lindler is currently the intern at Epiphany Lutheran Church in Winston-Salem, South North Carolina. I myself had the experience of doing an internship 20 years ago at Augsburg Lutheran Church, a big church in downtown Winston-Salem, North Carolina, as well as at the Lutheran Church of the Resurrection, a tiny little church in Greensboro, North Carolina. When I met with my candidacy committee following my internship, they asked me how things went and to describe some of the things that I learned. I can't remember exactly what I told them, but I guess it was enough because they approved me. But during this past week, as I read this morning's gospel text, a few things that I learned during my internship from 20 years ago came to mind. First of all, I learned what a great gift both the rich and the poor can be to a congregation. Although the gifts of money are vital to support the ministry, so too are the gifts of time and talent. At Augsburg, there were many well-paid professional people who financed their annual budget. They had great programs for their members, but also reached out to the poor in their community. The late Mr. Elford Hine was a rich benefactor who owned a shoe company several decades ago. His estate donated a couple million dollars to Augsburg and established an endowment fund that to this day enables the church to give away $80,000 per year to people in need. One of those people in 2004 was Johnny Hughes, a member of Resurrection, the poor little church that worshiped 12 people on a Sunday. Johnny was our regular acolyte. He was a high-spirited 30-year-old developmentally disabled man who received a scholarship from the Hine Fund to attend summer camp at Lutheridge, where he had a wonderful time. Johnny lived next door to the church in an apartment building for high-functioning developmentally disabled people. The land was donated by the Resurrection Church in order to build that housing. Johnny visited here at St. Thomas several times in the first 6 years that I was here. He came down to Chapin with his retired history professor friend, Dr. Robert Calhoun. In fact, both of them stripped our altar together during one of our Maundy Thursday services. One of the gifts God gave to Johnny was his powers of observation and his inability to tell a lie. I still remember having a meal with him at a Cracker Barrel where he was fascinated by all of the wall decorations, but he also noticed a couple holding hands and saying grace before their meal, although they sat way across the room from us, like Jesus pointing out the poor widow to his disciples from across the temple courtyard. Johnny focused my attention that day on something holy that I probably wouldn't have noticed. The other thing I remembered from my internship was how the little Lutheran Church of the Resurrection had helped out a poor widow in need at a time when their resources appeared to be limited. Turns out that this widow had lost her husband a few years back, and in her grief, tried to get his ashes interred at the columbarium at a large church in downtown Greensboro. She gathered together all of the cash she had, $1,700 to be exact, but the church had rules against lapsed members and denied her request. in her despondency, she came to the little church named Resurrection and handed over the $1,700, consisting of a bag full of crumpled bills. Even though the church had no place for the ashes, she no longer cared about that, but figured that this little church could use the money. She also cared to become active in the church and used to do things like climb on the roof and clean leaves out of the church's eaves troughs. Now, mind you, all this took place before I got there, as well as after her completely disappearing from the church for more than a year. Lo and behold, shortly after I got there, this widow showed up again. During the time she was away, she had had a stroke and had become partially disabled. Her car was in need of repair, and the repair shop was about to have the vehicle repossessed for the lack of payment on a previous repair. She came by the Little Resurrection Church with a caretaker and requested to get the $1,700 donation back. Well, according to the rules, once you give to a religious institution, that's God's money, not yours anymore, right? However, when I met with our church council, they unanimously voted to pay all of her unpaid bills until the $1,700 was exhausted. Unlike the temple officials in the first century who devoured the widow's houses, this little church, with its meager resources, did the right thing and the godly thing and helped a widow in need. I said earlier that I would come back to the question of why in the world does Jesus praise this widow in our gospel text for giving all the money she has to a cause that Jesus feels is unworthy of her support. The focus appears to be on her faithful attitude with which she makes the offering. Jesus doesn't praise her choice of beneficiaries, but he does praise the sacrificial spirit that moves her to give all she has in her love and devotion to God. Here, the focus is not on giving as an obligation, but on giving as an act of worship. But today's gospel lesson is not just about this, nor is it only about our personal sacrificial giving. It's also about the constant striving of a congregation to not make the same mistakes of the temple. God clearly calls the people of St. Thomas to be wise stewards of the abundant resources we have, to continue to elect faithful leaders to our council, to continue God's mission by spreading the gospel through our congregational word and sacrament ministry, and through our own holy vocations, whatever that may be, including military service. In our narthex, you may have noticed, we've got several opportunities to give. The We Care Christmas Angel Tree gives us a chance to provide Christmas gifts to needy children in our community. We also are collecting pound cakes for the community Thanksgiving community meal. We are asking for volunteers to give your time to help the Altar Guild during this busy Advent Christmas season. We are also participating in the Wreaths Across America to honor the veterans who are buried in our cemetery. And every week we collect food donations to WeCare. These are all good ways to share our abundance in God-pleasing ways through this community of faith. I'll finish this sermon with a story. It was told by a bishop named Joe Pinnell. Bishop Pinnell was out on the eastern shore of Virginia. He was standing out on an undeveloped piece of property that he hoped to develop into a new church start. The property was bordered by a couple of rather dilapidated houses, but that section of the county had promise for future development. As the bishop stood there pondering the future of that piece of property, a little boy came by on his bike. "What are you doing here, mister?" the boy asked.
"I'm here checking out this piece of property," the bishop responded.
"What for?" the boy asked. "We're planning to build a new church here," he explained to the boy. "We're going to build a church here for people in the neighborhood."
Well, then the boy said, "Good.
And when you get that church, don't forget about them people up on the hill," he said, pointing to the dilapidated houses overlooking the property. And then the boy said, "Them is people too." Amen.